I'm going to tell him. We had this guy on our apostolic team. His name was Kevin Ford. They know Kevin Ford. Kevin Ford was losing his hearing. It was bad. You ever been around people that can't hear? Some of your wives are saying, yeah, I've got one. Well, there's selective hearing, and then there's hearing that's damaged. So Kevin Ford, it was terrible. And Kevin, if you don't believe me, you can talk to us or you can talk to Tim and Carol. They know Kevin very well. Kevin's a bulldog when it comes to healing. I mean, he just goes after it. He will not stop until he sees things healed. So he was standing in that place of healing for his own ears. He said, God's going to heal my ears. We finally said, Kevin, everybody is miserable around you because you can't hear. And you're talking over people because you can't hear. So here, as we're comrades together, Kevin, we're going to stand in faith with you until your ears get healing. But until that time, you're getting hearing aids. Yes. His wife was very appreciative. And everybody around him was very appreciative. So sometimes we stumble over that stuff. All of us, there's places, you know, where the enemy's done things, whatever it is, and we think, hey, I can't go after that area because it's an issue in my own life. Slap yourself and say, not true. Not true. The areas where the enemy's attacked you, you become ferocious. And go after those areas in other people's lives, and all of a sudden, a suddenly will come upon you, and you'll find yourself healed. Yes. Now, I love all of you, but the best part of the whole room is the best part of the whole room, I'm sorry.
You know, with the healing anointing being in the room this morning, I want to share my testimony. And some of you have heard this before, but I think it's worth repeating. When I was 30 years old, which was decades ago, I woke up one morning and all of a sudden I couldn't see out of one of my eyes, and I went to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor said, I'm sending you to a retina specialist, who then said, I'm sending you to a neuro-ophthalmologist, who threw me in an MRI machine and all of a sudden diagnosed me with multiple sclerosis. I was 30 years old. And at that time, it's kind of scary. I was losing my vision. I had chronic fatigue. I started having limbs going numb. Couldn't feel my fingers part of the time. I walked with a cane. I had, you know when your feet fall asleep and you have pins and needles?
Yep.
I had that going on from my waist down. So I had to take drugs to deaden that because it was so painful when it was going on. So I would take 8 Neurontins. If any of you have neuropathy, and take that. It was a heavy dose of that medicine that, like, if I hit my arm on a table, I wouldn't even feel it. That's how numbed my body was in the midst of it. And I had this thing in me during that time after I got diagnosed that this is not my final destination. And this fight that was in me that I'm like, no, Lord, you have told me and you have promised me things that are not in a wheelchair or not walking with a cane or not laying in a nursing home, because if I was still in that condition today, I would be in a nursing home or maybe even dead. It was progressing quite fast. And so I just want to say to you, those of you that have diagnosis of things that are impossible, he's the God of impossible. We can write these lyrics. He's the God of impossible. We will not be overcome. Victory is ours because he's won. I wrote that knowing he is a God of victory. I pursued the Lord, but in the midst of that, I was on medications. I was on IV steroids every couple months. I'd have to go get bags of IV steroids put in my arm and all to keep it from going so fast. I gave myself shots every day to try to keep it from progressing. But God. And I want to say to you, those of you that are facing impossible situations, remember the things that the Lord has shown you. I guarantee there are things in your life that you are not crippled in those visions that he's given you.
Say that again.
I guarantee that are things in your life that you are not crippled in the visions that he's given you. And hang on to that and say, Lord, did you not show me that I will be doing this? One of mine was I would be up preaching on a stage. At that time, I was a background vocalist and a keyboard player at the church. I led in home groups and stuff, but I wasn't speaking and all that very often. It was just small gatherings. But I saw myself up on the stage and I'm like, Lord, I know what you showed me. I'm going to be doing that one day. Well, 3.5 years into it, and I had to learn how to live with a disease, as some of you have done. I had to learn how to live with it, and I had to learn how to trust in the Lord through the whole entire process. And I knew the disease wasn't from him, but I'm kind of tenacious, and I will be like, hey, if I have to be somewhere because the enemy sent me here, I am going to make him miserable. I'm going to say that again.
Yeah.
If you have to be somewhere because the enemy has caused disease or a circumstance, a flat tire, whatever it is, make the enemy miserable. What does that mean? That means when I was getting those IV steroids and I would sit in there with the nurses and they got to know me really well, and they'd sit me in this nice little room and while they were doing their thing, giving MRIs and all that kind of stuff. I would witness to all of them. I would pray with all of them. They absolutely loved me in there. I would walk in and they would come in and all of a sudden I'm pastoring the nurses that are there in the midst of my disease. I'm like, enemy, I'm going to make you miserable. If I have to go visit somebody at the hospital, I'm going to look for who needs to hear Jesus in the midst of it. It may not even be the one I'm visiting, but who's in the lobby? Who needs to hear a word from the Lord? And you know what? When you keep pursuing God that way, the enemy realizes I ain't one. My mother would just hate that grammar right there. But you keep pushing and you keep pushing. It wasn't a day that I got healed. And not. Let me explain what I mean by that. I was at the church I was part of down in Lakeland, Florida, and I brought one of my grandsons up to the altar to be prayed for, and the pastor, she was praying for all the kids, but she knew I was going through issues. I was having a flare-up. I was having double vision. I worked at the church, and she laid hands on me when all the kids were up there, and I went down in the spirit, and when I sat up, I couldn't see. Now, I'd had a question for the Lord. I said, Lord, is this a natural process, or is this a demon? That was my question to him. 3.5 years into it, I'm like, Lord, I need to know, is this just some natural process that's going on in my body, or is this a demon? And so here I am. I get up off the floor. Everything's swimming. I imagine it's kind of like Paul when he was struck blind, and that kind of moment. And I managed to feel my way back to the pew I was sitting in, and my friend looked at me. She was a nurse, and she said, you're white as a ghost. What happened? And I said, I can't see. And I knew I had my answer. It was a demon, right? I wasn't freaking out it was weird, but I wasn't freaking out that I couldn't see because there was a manifestation that wasn't natural going on, so I knew that we were dealing with a supernatural issue. So I went to the pastor afterwards. She's preaching, and my vision comes back, and I went up and told her afterwards, hey, I had this problem, and she laid hands on me again. She said, that's right. Jesus prayed for the blind man twice, laid hands on me. I went down in the spirit, and I was okay after that. Now, I had an MRI scheduled because I had a flare-up, so I went in and I had the MRI done, but all the scars in my brain were gone. I'd had 5 scars in my brain. They were all gone. And so I knew, and my atheist neurologist says it's all the good work that I did, and I'm like, there's no cure for this disease. Goodbye. I'm never coming to see you again. But I said to you, there's healing, and I knew in that moment I was healed, but it took some time for my body to respond and to strengthen back to where it was originally, because that's a disease that weakens all your muscles. Your nerves don't speak to your muscles, and it just cripples you. And it took a while, and the other thing that I had to learn how to do, and the Lord was very clear with me, was don't focus on the disease. So even before the time of healing, I was doing all kinds of research. I had computers were just coming out in the home, so I was like, okay, I got a computer. Amazon wasn't there. I was trying to figure out how I can get stuff delivered to the house. How am I going to live with this? And I had a big research folder. What's my conversion van going to look like? What's my scooter going to look like? the bed that I mean, seriously, I was looking at how am I going to live with this disease? And the Lord says, throw it in the trash. Throw that folder in the trash. So I had a dream, and I took it, and I threw it in the trash. Well, after that time of deliverance, he was very clear. He said, do not listen to that voice again. It will try to harass you. It will try to come back in. And I'm saying this for those of you that receive healing. Don't let it back in. It sits there and it knocks at you going, your foot's asleep. Your foot's asleep. Oh, you got MS. Instead of, I just was sitting wrong and I needed to move my foot. Oh, you're really tired today. You're exhausted. Wow, it must be coming back. And I would hear that voice and hear that voice and hear that voice. But eventually, as I stood against it, it went away. I'm not afraid of that disease anymore. Okay, I've gone to eye doctors, they've looked at my optic nerves, and they said, I can't even tell that you had anything. And so I live in a house where we walk up many, many steps to get upstairs. I rejoice every time I walk up and downstairs. For you, it may not be a big deal. For some of you, it might. But always be thankful for what God did for you. And those of you that are in the midst of crisis, keep pushing on, which... Sorry, I kind of took off on a whole other direction, but I felt like this was important this morning.
So with that then, Gary and Don and
Jerry.
And Jerry? Mm-hmm. Good. Jerry, not Terry. Good job. Thank you. Anyway, those of you that, you know, we prayed for today, then let us know what's going on, okay? Even some of you, if you want to call us, some of you, our phone numbers are next week. Or whatever, just come up, give us a report, because we'll see it through to its completion.
Yeah.
See it through to its completion. And you heard her say, every one of them have a voice.
Yeah.
Every one of them. The battleground is what? The mind. Mm-hmm. And our enemy is a master at running his mouth in our mind and by our thoughts. He's a master. He's been doing it for thousands of years, and he does it well. So to be able to distinguish the voice of God from the voice of the enemy, the voice of God will always line up with the Word of God. And the voice of God will always leave you with peace. It'll always leave you with hope. It'll always leave you with that says victory. You hearing me? Any voice that's contrary to those kinds of things, they're not your friend. So that warfare, you step into that place of warring. Another thing, hear me, denial is not faith.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Oh, I don't really have that symptom. There's a difference between a recognizing of a symptom, but never change your identity. So again, not legalistically, but to get the picture of what we're talking about. Sickness is going on in my body. I can recognize that something's going on in my body, but I will not say I am sick because I've just changed my identity to a false identity. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about that which has to do with recognizing. No, I am healed. Is that true? If that's true, then even when sickness or disease or anything is going on in me, it doesn't change who I am. So denial, because a lot of people, they won't even... We're going to play with some things here this morning. If you don't like us afterwards, it's okay, because July's coming and we probably won't see most of you for the whole month anyway. We take a sabbatical. which reminds me, not next week, but the week after that, we're going to have a Moravian Love Feast. It's going to be downstairs. Yeah, downstairs. So bring all kinds of food and stuff. And some of you bring gluten-free for us. Okay. And so we'll all eat together that last Sunday in June before we take the sabbatical. What was I going to say that might offend them? So that thing about denial, in other words, people... They know something is going on in their body, but they won't even do what's necessary to pinpoint what's going on in their body. Listen, we're not against doctors. We're not against the medical system. We're against the spirit behind it. So in this, when it comes to doctors and all that kinds of stuff, you go to them, but you keep your sovereignty. You go to them to find out whatever it is that they might know, but you don't just give yourself over to their protocols until you hear the voice of God. Okay? But if you go and they come back and there it is, they do a scan and they say, oh, well, then you jump up and down and shout because you just got the target. It's just been revealed. You can't not be a warrior, an intercessor, one that's going to take care of those things if you're afraid of getting the report of what the real root is. You're healed when you pull the root up. If I know what the root is, then boom, we'll go after that baby and I'll call a few of you and say, guess what? We just found out exactly what the root is. This thing with some diseases is, and I hate them, is when the doctor can't even figure out why they're there or what's going on. Any of you got that going on? In the back, yes, we prayed for you. And on Father's Day, 2024, we declare you're healed. But the people get those things and the doctor say, can't find it. Don't even know why you're sick. Yeah, you? So, Father, we thank you that today you know exactly what's going on in her body. You know exactly the report of the Lord. You know exactly what it needs to be taken care of in every part of her system. And so we say today, that which is hidden is but yet a shadow. And we release the power of the blood of Jesus to come now and remove it, open it up, and it'll harm her no more. So again, I just want you to hear that the thing of denial is not our friend in any area of our life. I'll say it again. Denial cannot carry faith with it. We're in trouble. Look at all these bills that I'm getting. You know what we're going to do? We're going to hide them in the drawer and just believe that God's going to take care of it. And God says, how are we going to partner together on that? I am indeed your provider. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take all those bills. I want you to put them on your bathroom mirror. And I want you to look at them and every morning. And I want you to decree that God is your provider. And he's going to take care of it. And whatever I need to know that I don't know in terms of taking care of these finances, you're going to give it to me. That's faith. That's faith. Keeping your head in the sand is not faith. I'm not saying... I'm getting a bit feisty. I'm not listening for bad news. Amen. But there's bad news everywhere. And so it just comes. So I'm not going to be afraid of it, and I'm not going to deny it. And take it to God and have conversation to get hold of what God has to say about it. Because what's the gospel? Is it bad news? No, the gospel's good news. Every single bit of it is good news. It's not bad news. So when you sit down with the Holy Spirit to have dialogue about whatever's going on in your body, whatever's going on in your finances, whatever's going on in your relationships, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's going on in the world, then when you sit down with God through Jesus by Holy Spirit to hear what God says about it, what's crazy is sometimes God says, I don't want to even talk about that today. Have you ever had that happen? No? I almost get ticked. This is what's on my mind today, God. This is what's bothering me. We need to have a conversation with it. You sit down with God and he starts talking to you about something else. Well, God, you're missing the mark. Come on. This is what... Am I the only one? You guys are not telling the truth. But whatever God has to say about it, then he's a solution. He's the answer to it. So what's God saying in the room today? There's a couple of things that God's saying in the room. When God's people get together and there's a community, and that's one of the things I know Rick Joyner wants is he wants community. He wants us to be in that place of community, in that place of oneness, because relationship opens the door for the kinds of things that we're talking about. Okay? And what I mean in that relationship, there's something in that relationship that carries the heart of the Father that then opens up, call it an atmosphere, call it a portal, call it a window, call it a timing for now, where God says, God loves bringing supernatural oneness, and then he loves operating in an atmosphere of oneness. Did you at some point today feel the oneness in the room? Come on, I want to see this. Did you at some point, come on, leave them up. At some point today, no matter where it was, did you sense something? Okay, so quite a few of you did. See, with that kind of thing, then, he says he takes two or three. But when there's a room where all of a sudden God does something and oneness, unity begins to take place in the room, then it's a door opener for God to do whatever he wants to do. So I'm just telling you, we didn't come plan to do any of what happened in the room. We just recognized that, okay, something's going on. Brother was obedient to a word of knowledge about kidneys. I mean, that kind of thing, then those kinds of things, because of community and relationship, God wants to open the door and do those kinds of things. So open yourself up to begin to build bridges with one another and begin to watch and see what God will do. Begin to do it even with people that you don't like. Don't tell them. Oh, by the way, I don't like you, but I'm going to try to build a bridge.
Don't you hate when people do that? Like, I didn't like you, but yeah.
We've had people do that.
I've had people do that.
I just want you to know, this happened 2 years ago, and now I'm coming to you.
Oh, no, one was like 10 years ago in a meeting, and like, yes. Oh, I need to forgive you for something that I didn't even do. They were just mad that somebody else paid more attention to me than them.
So anyway, build some bridges to people that you may not even like. You're totally different then. Because if indeed, and I believe it's so, that no matter what happens, you know, come fall, God does want to build a new wineskin here. He does. He wants a new wineskin so that he can pour in new wine. Do I think I know? No, I don't know. But we got to be open for God to do that. How many of you like new wine? Now, you didn't raise your hand. You're not telling me like red wine or what. No, we like the new wine of the Spirit. How many of you like the substance of heaven? The tangible presence of the substance of heaven. Do you love the presence of God? So we want a wineskin that opens wide the door for the presence of God. And that God doesn't have to, the Spirit of God, however you want to think of it, doesn't have to sit at the door back there and wait to say, okay, is anything gonna happen here today that's gonna open the door so that I might move in? Yeah. Whenever Father's Day come, how many of you remember, some of you will, because there's a lot of older people here, which is no problem, I'm one of you. But how many of you remember Brownsville, Florida, huh? Brownsville, Pensacola, Florida. Come on, raise your hands. I want to see your hands. Ah, and how many of you went? Let me see. Hold your hands up because you're lightning rods. Okay, I'm pulling on you. You're a lightning rod. Okay, let's say hey. And so that happened on what? Father's Day. It was Father's Day, regular service, just Kilpatrick, just going to do his thing, get up there and pray. But there had been a group of people. Even his wife was one of them. Kilpatrick's wife and Lindell, the music guy, they had created their own little new wine because they'd gone to some other places and learned to drink some of it. And they had been partaking together. And on Father's Day, 1995, in a Sunday morning service, all of a sudden, the river of God comes rushing through the room. Whew. All of a sudden, the river of God comes rushing through the room. Come on, can you feel that? Come on. Don't mess. The river of God out of nowhere on Father's Day, 1995. Anybody here that wasn't alive in 1995?
A few, yeah.
A few. God bless you. It's so good to have you here. So very good to have you here. 1995, out of nowhere. Wasn't any special sermon, wasn't any special music. Wasn't it up? Anybody was trying to crank something up, just ready for God to do something new. And in the midst of that, boom. And it went for how long? Do you remember? Do you remember for how many years it went?
7 years.
7 years. 7 years in a moment's time, river of God comes through the room, changes everything. Changed the culture of everything. Changed the schedules of the people that were involved. Changed everything. See, however God wants to do it, we just say yes. Right? Can we just say yes? I mean, whew. God loves doing those things. And everybody ask, what did you do? I mean, I was a part of all of that. From Rodney Howard Brown, Toronto, everywhere. Everybody wanted to know, what did you do that caused that river? And then they feel like they have to come up with an answer. Well, we did this, and we did this, and we did this. And God sits back and said, if there was anything that opened the door, it was your heart. It was not your religious things. Well, did you pray 10 hours a day? God loves people praying. We love it. We're not talking about doing something in the natural to get something in the supernatural. You're off that hamster wheel, aren't you?
Say it again.
How many of you are still living your lives where you're doing things in the natural, hoping that you're going to get something in the supernatural? Well, if I do it right in the natural, if I do, how many of you have ever been on that? Well, surely if I get up every morning and read the scriptures every morning for so many hours, then God's going to give me something in the supernatural. I don't have any problem with getting up every morning and spend hours in the Word. You're not going to twist God's arm. Nope. God wants to pour out more than you can ever imagine. It's all about the heart. All about the heart. And most of the people will tell you, Randy Clark shows up in Toronto. Again, 1994, I think it was. He shows up in Toronto. Kilpatrick, you all right with these stories? We'll wrap up in a minute. He goes down to Argentina where it's breaking loose. He's looking for, where's the new wineskin? What does it look like? He comes back. Nothing's happening. Randy Clark. He just shows up. If I've got this right, and how many of you, Rodney Howard Brown, does that name ring a bell with some of the same ones? Rodney Howard Brown.
You're doing this or you're laughing.
And so Randy Clark had gone to all these meetings with Rodney, gotten in line. Phil, nothing happens, Randy. He just shows up in Toronto. The river of God blows through the room. Went for years. Some of you are sitting here thinking that just had to do with then and nothing to do with now. I don't care how God does it. I just know, if you've tasted and seen that God is good, then you're hungry. And you're hungry right now, and you're ready for God to do something good.
Last week when we were here, I was sitting over to the side and just looking across our congregation, and the Lord started speaking to me about us. And I looked across and the Lord said, I'm faithful to all generations. And I said, Lord, talk to me about that. And he said, all generations, the older, the younger, I'm faithful to all of them. And I saw this move happening in this house, and this was where those of us that have been the partakers and drinkers of the Holy Spirit back in the 90s, and those of us that have been to the ramp and have gotten set on fire by the ramp and are in where we are today, that we have a responsibility. I don't like the word obligation, but it's like a calling, a mandate upon our lives to father or disciple other people in the understanding of the moves of the Spirit. And so we have that in the room. I mean, again, who was at Toronto?
Yeah.
Who went to Rodney Howard Brown? It's probably the same group of people.
Yeah.
It's like, how about Florida? You went to meetings in Florida,
yeah.
Even though it ended bad, but like the Florida outpouring.
Yeah, that was.
I was one of the worship leaders for that. Yeah, I mean that just blew my mind in the middle of all of that. The stuff that I would watch while I was up on the stage, with people getting healed. Those things change you forever. But there's a whole group of people that have no idea that God moves that way. And so when he gets ready to move, we have to be ready to move with him, but also to be part of the family that helps those that are coming in. One of the things that happened in Lakeland, and Stephen Strader was pastor of the Ignited Church where it started. Everybody, it was an all hands on deck thing, because all of a sudden the nations began flying in, and this little church that wasn't much bigger than this one all of a sudden had 1,000 people standing outside the door 2 hours before the service trying to get in. And all of a sudden we needed people that would do everything from ushering to, you know, counting the offering to ministering to people to making sure there were tissues around the pews, that there was toilet paper and the bathrooms were clean, to clean up the oil after Todd would decide to just dump oil on people and it was all over the carpet, just little things like that. But then the life-changing experiences that people were having, they needed people to talk to. They wanted to know, what do I do now? This just happened to me. My life has changed. God's touched me. He's healed me. I've never encountered in this way. But people needed to disciple those people. I want to challenge us here.
Yep.
And this is what the Lord was saying last week. I want to challenge us. Get ready to disciple others. Yep. It's very easy to come in here, and many of us have been going to church for a long, long time. And we've had awesome encounters with the Lord, and we come in here and we want to have awesome encounters with the Lord, but let's not make it all about us every single time. Okay, there's times we need healing and we need a touch, and that's why we're family. You can go to the family and go, hey, I'm having a hard time. Can you pray with me? Or I just need to talk. That's there. But we need to start looking at, how can I be a conduit of God's love, his mercy, and his grace, and pour it out to those that don't know him? There's a lot of people in this community that don't know him. All you have to do is go walk around downtown North Wilkesboro, or go to one of the community concerts. You'll see all the people that don't know Jesus. And are we ready to take all that we've received from him and begin to pour that out to those that are here? That's how community transformation is going to happen. We want to see the building full with people, with the life of God and people getting touched. Well, many of us have been fired up many times over and 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 over again. Let's start taking that and looking for those that we can begin to stir up and bring into the kingdom. I love going to restaurants and sitting and talking with the servers, or going to the grocery store and just making eye contact and starting to get to know the people that are there. They notice that you have something different. They notice that you have life. Don't look at them and tell them you're going to hell. They know that. They know that. They need to know that there's a way out of it. They need to know that there's hope. They need to know that there's a life beyond the structure of death that they're living in. So can we do that, Gathering Family?
Yes. Yes, we can do that.
Lord, open our eyes to those that you long to see come into your kingdom. Those that we encounter on a regular basis that we've just been walking by day in and day out. Lord, give us moments like at the Gate Beautiful. Give us those people that are sitting there that are crippled and lame and just don't have what it takes to get out of the muck and mire that they're in. And Lord, let us be your conduit. Let us be your voice upon the earth to cause change to happen in those lives, Father.
So our whole plan today was really to talk about the fathering spirit.
It's kind of like this. Here's the message.
Well, I mean, because it was about the fathering
nice
spirit.
Too.
I think God's manifested the Father spirit here today. I really think he did a whole lot better job than we could explain it or whatever. Because that's where things take place. When it's the heart of the Father and that fathering spirit is released, then that opens the door for God to do whatever he wants to do.
Divine appointments wherever we go.
God, we want those divine appointments.
Yes, Linda.
If I mean, it's not whatever that means. If it means I speak, if I don't speak, but let the Father, the Spirit of the Father, flow out of me supernaturally. God can do that. A testimony. We had decided, the Apostolic Network I was a part of, and it was birthed in new wine. And it carried the healing of John G. Lake. But we all decided together that way we wanted to spend the rest of our lives is we wanted to be known as fathers and that the Father's love would flow out of us, not known as apostles, prophets, pastors. We just decided we want to function however God wants us to function, but that's what we want people to catch from us. And so we go on a trip to Norway. And I'm not speaking. Some of the rest of the team is speaking. And I'm sitting behind on the third row or so, and there was a lady in front of me. And now we had just talked about this. In other words, like we release love today, the reality of the love of God we released all over Wilkes County, there's a substance to that. So I'm just sitting there. After it's over, the lady turns around to me and she says, "You carry the love of the Father." I never said a word. She didn't know me. She didn't know anything about me. I'm saying, God, that's what I want to carry. That's the thing we're talking about when we're talking about divine appointments, that literally the presence of God will be such in our lives that the people around us will catch that. One more testimony and we're done, and then we'll pray for any of you that want to be prayed for. Ministry team can come up and minister with us. I was so radically touched. And again, for me in the beginning, it was with Rodney Howard Brown because he came to Lakeland in March of 1993. I was pastoring just down the road, and I'd only been pastoring for just not even quite a year. I'd been a youth pastor 17 years. I didn't know anything about pastoring. And so I went, and that river of God went through the room. And I could feel it coming all the way across the room. And I had no idea when it came down the row I was on, it was not a pretty sight. It was a great feeling. But it touched me in such a way that when I showed up Sunday morning and stepped into my pulpit to preach, that river went through the whole room. And all I knew to do at that point is, if God's up to something, I want to handle it properly. I want to be a good steward. I don't want to put it in a box. I don't want to make it mine. I just said, God, this is all new to me. I had not lived in a Pentecostal background. I was severely changed. And again, you can ask Tim and Carol, what happened there is for at least a decade, we did every Thursday night, every Friday night, and our Sunday morning was absolutely no different. And every time we walked in that building, even if we were there for 14 days straight in a row, that river of God never stopped flowing. Am I lying, Tim? I'm telling the truth. They were both there. Tim and Carol were there. They'd come all the way from Kansas. What I'm telling you is that the reality of that is there's a whole generation that is beginning once again to taste that kind of presence. Yes, they are. They tasted it in Asbury, tasted it, Sean Fout, he's running all over the country. And there's thousands and thousands of young people that are getting baptized. And they're going to be known because they carry the presence of God. Not because they just made a decision for Jesus. But listen to me. All of those young people started out like us when I was 22 and God got hold of me and moved me from North Carolina to California. I needed fathers. I needed fathers, and God supplied them. Call them fathers, call them mentors, call whatever it is. And I'm saying to every one of you, and don't tell me about your shortcomings. Don't tell me about your mistakes. I'll tell you who you are. God calls us first what? Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. You hear me? And I recognize Scripture makes it clear. There's children, there's young men, there's slaves, there's servants. God, through His Son, demonstrated sonship and demonstrated fatherhood. And the anointing that was on Jesus to be a father and to be a son is upon you. And that anointing is real and it is for now. And if anything that's taken place is there's been a fatherless generation. No blame. I'm not looking for blame. All I'm saying is God's bringing in a harvest, and that harvest needs fathers. And you're not a father because of age. Does experience have something to do with it? Sure. Has something to do with it. God's built things in us because of those experiences. But we've got to become and embrace the father heart of God. And then let the presence of God come forth from us. In 1 John, where it talks about that, it talks about children, it talks about young men. When it talks about fathers, it says, fathers know their God. And God knows them. I've lived long enough. I don't know all about him, but I know a whole lot more about him than I knew 2 decades ago. And you're in the same place. So one of the things we're just asking God to do is continue releasing, like he did in here this morning, that the love of God would just mark us, and that the presence of God would mark us, and we would walk in the presence of God, and we'd become infectious to all of those around us. And it wasn't a joke when I said start building the bridges to somebody that you may not even like, because God's not going to pull people in here and fill this place up with new people when we're sitting here across the room with somebody that we can't stand. He's not going to do it. Rick can preach community all he wants to. He can set the chairs in any place, any way he wants to set them. You can do all of that to make those things possible. But there's got to be a yielding of heart that says, I'm going to become a friend of people. I'm going to become one that is a lover of people. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, all that you are. And then what? Love your neighbor. People sitting around you are your neighbors. No, they're not. They live in a different mountain than I live. No, they are. So the challenge this morning, as we give this invitation and as we lay hands upon you, is we're going to release the Spirit of the Father so that you might be overwhelmed in such a way that your DNA is changed, that your mind is changed, that your emotions are changed. You are transformed and activated in such a way that the atmosphere in this place will never be the same again. Is that all right? Okay, it's all right? Okay, so prayer ministry team, you can come up here. And those of you that wants to lay hands on you, you just come up here. Get right in front and move as close as you can to here. And we're going to pray for you this morning. We're going to pray and ask God to activate His presence, and that the river of God would just begin to move and explode in every one of us. So any of you that want prayer, come on, move up now. Don't wait. I want to pray for you. Anybody else? You want to ignite the fire of God inside of you and see you become radically changed. Okay, so if you need to go, go. Have a great week. We just thank God for you. Maybe speak to somebody on your way out that you've never spoken to before. We'll see you next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that is our Moravian Love Feast.